The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hi, this is Brian Doyle with the International Sports Federation and Global Serve, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McKay.
And we're back, Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast episode 50.
Hey everyone, I'm Matthew McCabe.
And I'm Steve Anderson. We are the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, helping youth workers to
keep going. And here we are on episode 50.
Can you believe it?
How in the world do we get to 50?
Well, I've asked that in a lot of areas of my life.
I was like, we are at episode 50, which matches my age.
And I remember back to the day when I turned 50, which was a few years ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
A lot has happened over the last 15 months. This is crazy.
I know. I can't believe all the episodes we've recorded and just the experiences, the people we've met, all that's going on. This has been quite the endeavor.
Thank you for those of you who have trekked with us through these 15 months. We're glad to have you. And if you're a relatively new listener, welcome aboard.
Do you think there's anybody other than you and I who have listened to all 50 episodes?
Negative. Maybe. No, there's a couple people out there that I think.
Probably my intern.
There's a couple people out there I think that listen pretty regularly. That's great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
When everyone asks me about our following, I'm like, yeah, we have tens of followers.
That's right. It's fantastic. We're almost hyper celebrities here.
But we're having a good time. Irregardless, having a great time. So.
Absolutely, man. It's a blast.
Yeah. Hey, if you guys are youth leaders in the Northeast, you should check out this really cool youth leader summit that's happening up in New Jersey at the Harvey Cedars Bible Conference. You can go to hcbcyouthleaderssummit.com and check it out. It's in May 22nd and 24th. Steve and I are working on plans for the Sherpas to be there, and we're excited. And we just think it's really low cost, but it seems like high impact. So you should definitely get out there.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Like you said, it's really cheap, and we're going to go probably record an episode there or do something fun.
We'd love to connect, so hopefully.
We're officially co-sponsors of this event.
I believe we are on the sponsor list, which feels very official and awesome. I love it.
It feels a lot more official than it really is.
But hey, let's just go with the fact that it's official. We're sponsors of an event.
True. And you know what's awesome is Josh Griffin's going to be there.
Yeah, he is.
Our buddy Josh. And, yeah. You know, if you haven't heard the episode, The Sherpa Legend, that we released last week, our interview with Josh Griffin, you got to go back and check that out. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's a great interview, great story. Yeah, you definitely would not be disappointed checking that out.
Speaking of Josh Griffin, we are here at Mountain View, my home church, going to be a host site for the Download Youth Ministry volunteer training event in September, which we're super excited about.
Yeah, so a really cool event where they're doing it nationwide, but it happens at local churches. And so definitely something you should check out if you haven't yet checked it out.
Yeah, you can take your whole team to a morning of training. It's video training from some of the greatest names in youth ministry. It's only like $99. I think the price is going up, you know, each month or something, but it's super cheap. You can bring as many volunteers as you want for that price. And all you got to do is go to trainmyvolunteers.com and sign up your group at the location nearest you.
Yeah. So hopefully if you're local, we'd love to see you at Mountain View. If not, I guarantee you there's a site within an hour or so of where you are. So look that up on the website and definitely get to that training. And I don't think there's a better value in money right now for $100 to bring as many of your team to get training from some of just legends. I mean, literal legends. Yeah.
It's going to be super fun. So you got to sign up for that. So this episode is coming out the day after April Fool's Day.
Yes. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't say this episode is coming out on April 2nd, which is my youngest daughter's 17th birthday.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Yeah. So April Fool's Day is great, but April 2nd is a big day. It's a big day. Baby girl turned 17.
Wow.
Shout out Ileana McCabe.
All right. I love you, Illy. So April Fool's Day, you know, to me, this is like one of my favorite holidays of the year.
Yeah, you love shenanigans, don't you? You love a reason to get involved in some kind of like trickery.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like spectacular at it. I'm not a big prankster per se. My father-in-law is the king of pranksters.
Really?
He's got story after story, and they are hysterical. He does stuff, and then he never tells people that he was the instigator of these things. I'll share them someday. But anyway, yeah, I love a good prank. So occasionally when April Fool's Day falls on the youth ministry meeting day, you can have some good times.
Sure.
With
have you done anything? Have you done anything fun? Come on. Enlighten us, Steve.
Well, just a few things I managed to sort of pull off over the years. We used to actually publish a newsletter, you know, send it in the mail, and it had a calendar in it.
Wow.
And April 1st was a Sunday. And so I put on the calendar that we were having a Chris Tomlin concert that night.
I think I remember this.
And I just put it on there. I thought, nobody's going to believe this, right? And people believed it. People were coming up to me, and they're like, how did you get Chris Tomlin on the books to come to your church or come to our youth group? I'm like, well, you know, I have this friend who knows him, and I gave this whole, like, long story.
So you played into it. Once it was you played into it.
I did, and people actually believed it. And you know what? It's not that incredulous because you had David Crowder.
We did have David Crowder to open our youth group
opening.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Which, by the way, we had convinced the people that it wasn't David Crowder, and the joke was that it was actually David Crowder.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was one thing I did. Another one was kind of mean. So when the church was in its early stages, we met in a high school, a public high school, for years, actually. And I put out on Facebook or email, I can't remember exactly how I transmitted the information, but I put out this thing. And I said, please pray because the local school district has issued a new decree that they are not allowing any church-related groups to meet in their schools. So effective immediately, we have no place to meet as a church.
Oh, no.
And people freaked out. The kids were like emailing me. They're saying, I don't know, what are we going to do? There were tears. There was drama.
Did anybody storm the school board? I mean, did you have angry parents sending emails to the superintendent of schools? And he's going, what is going on?
No, I think it passed pretty quickly when the truth got out there. But yeah, I was pretty proud of myself, actually, for pulling it off. I kind of enjoy making kids cry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember early on April Fool's, not youth group related, but family related. I remember my wife and I, we played some sort of April Fool's joke. I don't even remember what it was. It was something innocent, like maybe we changed the furniture in the room so when they woke up in the morning, they woke up in a different room. It was something just silly. But our children literally lost their minds over it. And it really soured the whole experience. So we pretty much put April Fool's on the shelf after that. And just were like, wait a minute, this was supposed to be funny. And there were tears, there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we were like, you know what? Maybe they don't have this. I mean, now that they're older, they have great sense of humor. And maybe we could reinstate it. But we had put it on hold for a while, and because it's so close to my daughter's birthday, we kind of were always
didn't want
to
overshadow.
Yeah, tied up with that. So, yeah. But yeah, good fun. Tricking people.
One time, I told the students when we were opening our youth center, I said, "You're never going to guess what happened. We got a sponsor for the snack bar, and Taco Bell is going to be our featured sponsor."
you're a terrible human being, Steve.
At the snack bar in the youth room. People are like, this is the greatest thing ever. We're going to have Taco Bell every week.
Well, can we talk about the fact that people actually thought that was a good idea?
I think it's a great idea.
Taco Bell?
I love Taco Bell.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I haven't eaten Taco Bell in more than 20 years.
I don't even know who you are.
Why would you go to Taco Bell when there's Baja Fresh or Cafe Rio or some real Tex-Mex?
Because Taco Bell's like a dollar. I'm poor. I'm a youth pastor.
You get what you pay for, my friend.
Yeah, at least you're. Yeah.
Anyway.
I love Taco Bell.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, to each his own. That's fine. Well, as long as we're talking about April Fool's Day and foolishness and silliness, we kind of thought we'd do this episode centered that was dropping so close to April Fool's Day about some of the foolish things that we've done as youth leaders over the years.
I know it's hard to believe. But we have actually done really foolish things.
I actually don't find it hard to believe at all. Mostly because I know you and I know myself too well.
True.
And so we thought about two kind of generic categories.
Yeah.
Foolish things that we've done, foolish things that we've actually made the decision to do and then turned out they were foolish.
Right.
And then foolish things we've allowed to happen for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the foolish things we've allowed to happen.
Oh, very shortly after. We were just joking about this at dinner the other night. Where my kids were home for spring break, so we had the whole family there. We were just reminiscing and telling stories. And very early on at my current church at Cedarbrook here, so this is like 15 years ago, on a night near Christmas, we were in December, it was near Christmas, and we were kind of getting ready for a youth group that night. Worship team was practicing, and everything was happening, and this girl, who they showed up a little bit early, and she was from the church, and she had brought a friend who had come once or twice. So it kind of was, you know, like, oh, this girl and her friend, and they came up and they said, hey, we'd really like to sing a special song.
Oh, no.
You know, tonight. And of course, I was like in that mode of like, oh, this girl, she's brought her friend. I want them to feel like, so I was like, that would be great. I mean, I was like, what, in my mind, I'm thinking, what could go wrong, right? That would be great. You can do that. So we're going to do, you know, the worship team's going to do this many songs, and we're going to do announcements, and then you guys are on, and we're going to do some more worship and then get into the teaching. So off we go. These two girls get up on the stage, and they sing Santa Baby. And let's just say they danced along with it. They had a routine with it, which was not necessarily appropriate for a churchy audience. And at that point in time, we were still meeting high school and middle school together. So these are two juniors in high school singing Santa Baby with sixth grade boys sitting in the front row with their eyes as big as saucers. But of course, once it started, like, it's not like we could yank them off the stage. We had to just let it play out.
It didn't occur to you to ask them what they were going to sing?
I didn't. This was a foolish decision, Steve. I'm not saying I did well. No, for some reason, and I don't know what it is, I did not ask, well, what are you going to do? And is there a provocative dance routine with it? It just didn't dawn on me that was actually going to happen until it happened. And that was at least one very foolish thing that I've allowed to happen.
That's classic. Yeah, we've got some talent show stories like that too, where acts got up there and did things that we wish they hadn't done.
Yes.
I was thinking about one of our retreats when there was a gym and there weren't any dodgeballs around. The kids were like down there playing dodgeball and there weren't any dodgeballs. We couldn't find them for some reason. So the kids came up to me and they said, hey, is it okay if we play dodgeball with basketballs?
I have a similar story, but go on.
And I was like, oh yeah, go ahead, whatever. So they proceeded to play dodgeball with basketballs, which you might as well just play dodgeball with
wrenches.
Cinder blocks.
I mean, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball, right?
So they're chucking, these high school boys are chucking these basketballs at each other and just knocking each other silly. Oh. It was so dumb.
That was
one of the kids did get concussed. And then I had a conversation with his mother the next week, you know, I can't believe that you allowed these boys to play dodgeball. And I was thinking, I can't believe it either. Play dodgeball with basketballs. So what was I thinking?
Yeah, we were playing this. It was a youth group game one time. We used to play clean up your backyard, you know, where you got two sides of the room. We had actually had volleyball net set up. We were outdoors and then two teams on each side. And then you have these, you just put, it could be balls, could be whatever. And then when you blow the whistle, you throw them to the other side because you're trying to get all the items off your side into the other side.
Okay.
And then when the whistle blows, whoever has the most on their side loses.
Okay.
It's called clean up your own backyard. Okay. But we're getting ready to play, but I didn't have we played, but I had like, you know, 14 tennis balls or something. And so they were like, and there was a ton of kids. They're like, this is super lame. We need more items for this to be fun. And I was like, well, I don't know what to do. He's like, someone said, let's
bring
just
out
play
small
with our
children.
No, they said, let's play with our shoes. Everyone take your shoes off. We've got, you know, we got hundreds of things if we all take our shoes off. I was like, yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
And then they started, well, now they're throwing. And some, you got,
they're probably wearing
size
boots.
12 hiking boots are flying over the, and kids are bending down to pick a shoe up and looking up and then smack us. Oh, I probably sent at least 15 people with bloody noses
before we
blew the whistles and said, stop, it's got to be over.
Let me empty all my pocket knives on the ground
it was one of those, like, I wanted the game to go well, and so I just made a foolish decision and didn't think quite through it.
Didn't foresee
the
clogs flying across the net.
It was terrible.
Oh my. One of my first trips here, it might have been It was the very first middle school trip I took, actually, at this church. Well, there was an event in Ocean City, used to happen every year, and the church had done it before. But so we went to this event and had all these middle school kids staying in these hotel rooms in Ocean City and wanting to be liked, you know, wanting to be
the
popular,
guy. Sure.
Wanting to be cool. I kind of gave the go-ahead for some pranking. And so the kids were all into this. This became their obsession. And there was a lot of water involved, shaving cream. There was spaghetti involved and all kinds of stuff. And it was my very first event. And sure enough, hotel security comes up to me and says, "Mr. Anderson, if this behavior continues, we're going to have to ask you to leave." And I'm just imagining, like, driving back to Frederick from Ocean City with the middle school group on my first trip and telling the parents, "I'm sorry, we got kicked out of the hotel and had to bring everybody home." Like, that would have been my first and last event as the youth pastor.
Could have been a short run for you here.
Yes, very foolish decision. So, yeah, I guess the moral of the story is there are certain things that just out of lack of judgment or get caught up in the moment.
Yep, or definitely getting caught up in the moment.
Trying to be liked and cool. You kind of let something happen, and then you're like,
that
was a bad idea.
You gotta let that happen. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, how about things that you've actually done?
Oh, yeah. See, this is harder because the other one you can sort of blame, like,
blame other people.
Caught on the moment, or yeah, so other people are the ones doing the foolish things. Here are the ones where you just go, "Wait a minute, this one is completely on me." Mm. I remember I was planning a missions trip. This was back when I was in Wisconsin. We were planning a missions trip to Mexico. And I was working with this mission organization in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And they were going to drive us to Mexico from Minneapolis.
You told me this story. And this is really foolish thing.
Yeah, it was going to be in a Greyhound bus. And so it's at that point in time, you think, okay, that seems a little tough. But you know what? Hey, it's a missions trip. Let's gut it out. We'll get on a bus. We'll be on a bus for, you know, 36 hours and we'll get there and it'll be fine. You know, it'll work. And then as we're getting close to the trip, they called me.
Just get on
me.
A wagon train. I take know, your kids across the prairie.
They called me and they said, "Hey, we're having a little bit of trouble. One of our buses isn't working well. Plus, we didn't get as many people to sign up for this trip as we thought. Mm. It's just your group. There's 13 of you.
Oh, geez.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to rent a 15-passenger van and we're going to haul a trailer for the luggage. And so we'll provide two drivers." And I was like, "So that's 15 people for a 15-passenger van for 36 hours. And they said, "Yeah." And I was like, "Okay, sounds good." That was probably the most unpleasant experience of my entire ministry career, spending 36 straight hours, other than stopping for gas, in a 15-passenger van. I mean, a bus you can get up and walk around. A bus you can, you know, lay back and fall asleep. Why I said that sounds great, to this day, I have no. It was one of the first decisions I ever made in ministry, and it was one of the more foolish ones. It was terrible.
I mean, the whole time you're talking, I'm just looking at you like, you are an idiot.
Oh, I 100% was an
idiot. How old were you?
I was 21.
Well, there you go.
I was 21 years old.
No offense to 21-year-olds listening, but you probably physically thought, "Oh, yeah, I can handle this, 36 hours in a van, no big deal."
It was brutal at 21. I can't imagine doing it at 50.
Yeah, if I told you right now you had to stay in a van for the next 36 hours, what would you say to me?
I would say you're insane. I would say I couldn't do it. I would say, "Take me now. Jesus, take me now, because I'm not doing it."
Wow, that is insane.
Because I've recently taken 16-hour trips in my minivan with my family and gotten a little stir-crazy.
Oh, absolutely.
So 36 hours with youth group students. I mean, nothing against youth group students. I love them to death, but oh, my goodness. It was insane.
Speaking of trips, I made a trip one time. I loaded up a bunch of middle school kids on a charter bus. Actually, it was a school bus. And we went to a water park in Virginia. It was about, I don't know, 90 minutes from here. And I found this park online. It looked pretty cool. It's not a huge water park. It's owned by a municipality, but it looked really nice. And it was a summer trip. School was out, and we needed something to do. So it sounded really good. I went online, and I bought tickets for our group. Sounded great. Advertised it, got the sign-ups, loaded the kids on the bus, and drove to the water park. And I know one of your favorite movie characters is Clark Griswold. And so you're well familiar with the original vacation
Wally World, baby.
And driving up to Wally World and finding out that
it's closed.
It's closed. And then John Candy, right, gives them, they kidnap John Candy.
Yes.
And make him take them on all the rides, right?
Yep.
Well, we drive up to this water park, and as we're pulling into the parking lot, I'm looking around and wondering why there aren't any other cars in the parking lot.
You're early. Early bird gets the
worm. I guess early bird. We must be the first ones here today. And then we get all the way up to the gate, and there are literally only like a half dozen cars. And there's a sign that says that the park is opening 2 days from now. Your face is it was my face. I just looked at this sign like, wait a minute. I bought tickets for this park. They allowed me to purchase tickets for this date, for this park. It's not open? Well, it turns out what happens is in that county, they don't open the water park until their schools were out. And school was still in session. It was like June 16th. It was late. It was late. They were still in session. They weren't out for another day. And so the water park wasn't open until Friday. And the only people in the park were some of the employees who were getting trained. And like I went up and I literally rattled the chains.
You Clark Griswold it.
Yeah, I was like, is there any way we can get in here? And they said, no, we're still doing training and we're not open for another 2 days. And so I, you know, sheepishly walked back to the bus.
Like, terrible. Oh,
kids, I have some bad news. The park is closed. I've got parent chaperones with me who'd never been on a youth trip before, and they're throwing darts at me with their eyes.
Oh,
they're like,
sure.
Who is
like,
this idiot?
Who is this idiot making?
So, yeah, we get back on the bus, and I'm thinking, I am the stupidest youth pastor in history. So, fortunately, we bought a little bit of time. We went and stopped at like a fast food place, let the kids get something to eat while we, you know, rallied some ideas. And the bus driver, who was from our area, knew of a pool with kind of some water slides and stuff, not quite a water park, down your way, down in Montgomery County. And so she hooked us up with that. We showed up, and the kids had a great time, and the day continued on, but I've never let myself forget.
Sure.
Make sure the water park is open before you get on the bus to drive there.
Uh-huh.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Handful of years ago, and boy, this was foolish. A handful of years ago, we were building a student worship team, right? We were fairly new.
Did you recruit the two girls who sang Santa Baby?
No, they had
you really should have.
They had long graduated and moved on.
You could have started a student worship and dance team.
Yeah, I know. So that was that. We had a
and
worship
burlesque
team
too, if you wanted to.
And then the worship team sort of died, and then we were starting to build a new team. And I had a couple leaders take a run in it, a couple adult volunteers that sort of would. I have no musical gifts whatsoever. So, like, when it came to the worship team, I was like, somebody else has to do this or it's not happening. I know how to push play on an iPod. We can sing to Chris Tomlin. It'll be fine. Nobody liked that. No, we need live worship. Fine, fine, fine.
Well, you should have come to our youth group when Chris Tomlin was performing.
I know. It would have been great. I didn't know. So, anyway, we built this team, but one leader works with him for a while, but then his situation's changed. He had to step out. That's fine. Had another leader step up. Things were going really well. And then we had a really unfortunate situation happen at the church. We talked about this not long ago in the cleaning up other people's mess episodes. So now I'm left with this group of high school kids that have sort of been assembled to be a worship team, but I literally have no leader. And so I'm talking with the students and they say, no, we can do it. We'll keep it going. We can run this ourselves. And I think, oh, okay. So off it goes. They start running this and it becomes pretty evident. They were doing fine as far as performing, like they could lead worship well. They were all talented musicians and everything was well, but you could see that there were tensions,
mm-hmm.
you know, among the students and there was drama that was sort of kicking up. And
they would be the first band in history
to have drama, right?
To have inner turmoil.
I know,
among
right?
the members.
So then I'm getting quips from different members like, oh, this person's da 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 da, this person's da da da. And so I decide, because I'm tired, I'm exhausted, we had just come through a really tough season.
Sure.
And I just said, look, you guys got to figure this out. So I schedule a meeting for the worship team to get together to sort of sort out their differences.
Okay.
I set it. I find a house that it can happen at.
Sounds kind of wise.
And I say, go.
Sounds like a good idea.
I didn't go.
Oh,
I just said, you guys are high school kids. You should be able to figure this out.
You didn't send a mediator.
I did not say. I locked like eight high school kids who were already in conflict into a basement in somebody's house and said, come out in 2 hours with a plan going forward that doesn't involve drama.
And they all took off their shoes and threw them at each
other. Oh, my goodness. About 45 minutes into what was that meeting, my phone was blowing up because I was home with my family on a Sunday afternoon trying to catch some time with my kids. What happened in that 45-minute meeting before they all stormed off and left cost me weeks of work in the next 3 months to mend. I could have gone to a two-hour meeting, mediated it, probably got them to a healthy place, but I chose to go home for an afternoon, and it cost me a week, honestly, months of turmoil to get them. And eventually, we all figured it out, and it came around. But of course, they were 16 and 17 year olds. They needed somebody to help them through it. And I just said, it was like a Royal Rumble. Last one standing wins. What was
it's
I
like
thinking?
A reality television show.
If we had had cameras rolling,
you should have
probably.
You should have put a hidden camera in there.
I could have marketed
that
this.
That would have been spectacular.
Yeah. What I should have done, Steve, is I should have gone to the meeting and mediated the
Maybe
thing.
So. Maybe
what
so.
A foolish mistake that was, and it cost me dearly. It did. Yeah. It did. Now I will say this: several of those people that were in that meeting are currently serving on currently serving on our adult worship team in significant roles, and some of them are leading. They're actually the adult in charge of our youth worship team now.
Okay.
So happy ending, but wow, what a mess.
Yeah. Oh, that's brutal.
All because I made a foolish decision to take a nap on a Sunday afternoon instead of going to a meeting. So yeah, so at the end of the day, happy ending. We're in a great place, but man, what a foolish decision I made to go home and take a nap instead of going to this meeting. It could have saved me days of work. So, but anyway, hey, live and learn, right?
You know where I get into the most trouble?
Where do you get into trouble?
When I make a spontaneous decision.
Oh, spontaneity. I love spontaneity.
It can be great.
It can
be. And usually my judgment, I think, is pretty good. But there have been a few times where spontaneity has got me into a world of trouble. So there was one time. This was one of my very first youth ministry experiences. I was a volunteer, and I was teaching the youth group one night. And I was talking about how we need to treat each other better. But as an example, I decided to treat someone really poorly inside the group that night just to see how people would react.
A little object lesson. I like it.
A surprise, spontaneous object lesson. So I picked out this kid. He was in my small group that year. Sweet kid. I think he was in eighth grade, and we had a good relationship. And I decided that I would unload on this kid in front of everybody else. And so I'm teaching the lesson, and then suddenly I stopped. And I pointed at him. His name was Teddy. And I said, Teddy, you are being disruptive and disrespectful yet again. This is the 1,000th time that you've done this. And I have simply had enough of it. So just get up and get out of this room. But I didn't tell Teddy that I was going to do this.
Oh, Steve Anderson.
I didn't tell him.
It's a wonderful object lesson if he knows about it.
He didn't know about it.
Oh, and he's
and
an
so
eighth grader.
You can just see his face fall and the tears well up in his eyes. And he just looks absolutely destroyed and crushed. And he gets up with his head bowed and he walks out of the room in tears. And everyone's looking at me. And he walks out and I'm like, oh, I was just kidding. That's how you're not supposed to treat people. Ha 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 ha. And then I realized, oh my gosh, what have I done?
You've crushed a child.
I've broken a little boy.
Oh,
and so,
no.
Like, I rush out of the room and I chase him down the hall. I'm like, Teddy, I wasn't serious. But he's not getting it. Like, it's not registering because
he's crushed, emotionally
destroyed. I have stepped on his soul. And so there was no repairing that night.
Oh, no.
It was absolutely the worst night of teaching I've ever had.
Oh, my God.
Thankfully, it was near the beginning of things, and, you know, I kind of learned from that. But
yeah, just keep.
But not entirely, Because one other time.
Oh, no, you did it again. Oh, no, Steve.
No.
Say it as it's so.
A little bit different, but I actually hit a kid. I actually hit a kid.
I'm uncomfortable with where this is going.
It's not as bad as it sounds.
No,
it was a foolish thing. So years later, I was teaching a middle school lesson. All these things happen in middle school. I don't know why. Maybe that's why I do primarily high school now. I've tortured enough middle schoolers. But we're sitting in a circle, and I was teaching a lesson. It's at someone's house. It's probably 30 kids in the circle. And we were talking about pain, you know, how to handle pain that comes into our lives. And once again, without thinking, just spontaneously, I slapped the leg of the kid next to me as hard as I could. And his name was Steven, and he was wearing shorts. And I just was like, whack, slapped his leg really hard, really suddenly. And everyone looked at me like, I can't believe the youth pastor just hit that kid.
Oh, my.
And Steven and I were close. And he looks over at me, and tears well up in his eyes, not from disgrace, but from pain.
You really hurt him.
My fingers left. They were imprinted on his leg, the shape of my hand. And he looks at me, and I'm like, and yeah, and that's what pain feels like.
Wah, wah, wah.
And everyone is thinking, you are a crazy man. What are you doing? Years later, I was actually doing Stephen Henry's wedding, and I brought that up.
Oh, my.
Remember the time when I actually slapped you really hard in front of the entire group, and I brought tears to your eyes? And yeah, I learned my lesson, never hit a kid. This is a pretty good lesson to learn.
Yeah, spontaneity can get you in trouble.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I do remember his mother was not real happy with me that night.
No, I can't imagine
yeah.
so.
She's like, oh, you left a mark on my child. I should call social services. But she didn't because she forgave me. So,
One of the things over the years that have gotten me in the most trouble making foolish decision is youth group games.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many ways to go wrong. I mean, there's so many games that we used to play back.
True.
You think of Chubby Bunny is the one you think of that is now banned because, you know, people choke and die and stuff. But which is
still
not
think
funny.
I still think that's an urban legend, but maybe it's true.
It very well could be an urban legend. But, we've played. I remember reading this game online in some book called Circle of Death or something. You know that game where
you didn't suspect that maybe this game was a bad idea called Circle of Death?
Where you hold hands in a circle with a trash can in the middle and you try to pull other people into it.
Oh, yeah, that's a big game.
Yeah, it's a big game.
Popular.
But I've put people in the hospital with that game.
Wow.
Because, you know, it gets, you know, the first year I played it, I was like, let's play co-ed. No, you got to play the guys in the girls circle and things. What about Red Rover?
Red Rover. We've had injuries in Red Rover.
Classic.
Yeah.
We were on the beach at one of these retreats. We were at the beach. And, of course, you know, the kids get into it now as middle schoolers. And Red Rover, send that really big, you know, eighth grade boy over. And then he runs between two sixth grade girls.
A little 75-pound sixth grade girl.
Yeah, and the next thing you know, there's a girl who's got a broken wrist. Luckily, in that case.
Yep.
The girl with the broken wrist was
your
my daughter.
Daughter, of
so,
course.
So, you know, the parents were a little more understanding with the...
well, maybe the father was.
I think the mother was not happy at all. No, not at all. So, you got to just be careful with the games.
Yeah.
But, hey, if you're in ministry long enough, you're just... It's inevitable. You're going to make a foolish decision here and there.
Yeah.
And so, what are we going to do about that? Because, again, we both talk about foolish decisions we made that could have cost us our job. They didn't.
Yeah.
But enough foolish decisions, and it could cost you your job.
Well, the one issue is that you often make them spontaneously, and so you don't know you're making the foolish decision until it's too late. So maybe, you know, especially if you're a younger youth worker and you're still figuring some of these things out, maybe it's just good to have somebody to run an idea past.
You need a checkpoint.
Mm-hmm. You're going to do that game, and there's maybe just a tiny, tiny glimpse of what could happen in the back of your mind. Maybe it's good to ask somebody. Maybe it's good to ask a parent. If you have a parent volunteer, you know, somebody with a little who has kids of their own, they might have a different perspective on what's okay.
Yep.
Not that we live in our fears, but it's good to have a second voice. For me, it's often my wife.
Oh, I was going to say, if you're married,
your
spouse very well could be that person. I can't tell you how many times that my wife has saved me. I mean, I told you about the foolish decisions I have made. I'm not telling you about the ones I could have made if my wife wouldn't have gone, that doesn't sound like a good idea at all. And then, Oh, you're right. It doesn't, you know.
Yes.
So it could be your spouse. Now, you might have a spouse who's also prone to foolish decisions and risky behavior. So maybe it's somebody else. Yeah, a good parent volunteer, somebody to run a check by.
You know, otherwise, you're going to make mistakes. We're going to make foolish decisions. And we just pray that they're not, you know.
Too big.
Too big and too catastrophic. And we learn from them and move on.
Yeah, and yeah, that's the key, I think. When you do, you have to learn from it. Mm-hmm. And so, and again, I think other people need to be involved at that point mm-hmm. in time. Because when you make foolish decisions, chances are other people are going to get caught up in that. Then use those people to help you figure out
sure.
what went wrong.
Yeah.
And what could we do in the future? Because that's part of their healing process, too.
Right.
I mean, those students and their parents who were in that worship team meeting all grew from this because I needed them to mm-hmm. help me grow from this, and we all grew together, and we all got to a better place.
Yeah, and so. My sincere apology to those students that I publicly humiliated.
Poor Teddy.
You know.
I want to send Teddy a note. Do you have his address?
I don't. Oh, Teddy's probably 40-some years old now, but yeah, just the sincerity of our apology and really owning up to our mistakes yes. is part of it, too.
So. And that's another key one you just hit there, Steve, yeah. is to own it. I think mm-hmm. sometimes I know that I'm prone to it. When you make a foolish decision, you want to justify yeah. why you made it. You want to kind of make some excuses. So I think it's just better to just take it.
That was stupid.
Just say, nope, you know what? You're right. That was a foolish decision and I shouldn't have made it. Let's figure out where we go from here. Because when you try to cover it up or try to maybe blame somebody else or create some kind of rationale for it, that does not bode for longevity.
Yeah. So in conclusion, here's a couple other things to learn. Make sure you've got your dodgeballs with you.
Don't ever play with basketball.
Make sure you vet the acts that are going to perform on the stage.
Especially in the middle of a worship set.
Yes, that might be a wise thing to do. Never hit a kid. That's probably a really good idea.
If you're going to publicly humiliate them.
Let them know.
Give them a heads up. Make sure they're okay with
wow,
it.
Wow, we are so wise.
Wow.
No more foolish decisions from us.
I wish that were the case, but no, there will be more.
Well, if you have any to share, we'd love to hear about them. You can reach out to us, share your most foolish moments with us. We would get a kick out of that. In the upcoming weeks, we've got some exciting news.
Yes.
Ministry Sherpas. We're talking about doing a crossover episode with the Youth Ministry Boosters. A
couple of great guys doing some incredible things. And so we're hoping, we're in scheduling right now. Both parties are all about this.
We're in negotiations.
We're in negotiations for what day we can actually get all our schedules together.
Yes.
So we're looking forward to that. So that'll definitely come up in the next couple weeks.
And it's also time to start talking about the month of May
yes.
on the Sherpas podcast, because we are going to do another round of
second edition of Sherpa Shorts.
Yes. If you haven't listened to the ones from last year, we're going to go 26 straight days, about 10 minutes a day. And we're just going to riff on youth ministry in a way that's super fun and off the cuff. And it's a blast.
We had a blast last time. And so we're looking forward to Sherpa Shorts in the month of May again.
Yep, absolutely.
Plus, it's our favorite graphic I have is that llama in the shorts. I mean,
true.
I can't wait to break that out again.
True story. So this is our 50th episode, man. Congratulations. Well done.
This happened.
We're heading into the second half of our first century together.
Unbelievable.
That's insane.
It both literally and podcast-wise.
That's right.
So thanks for tuning in today. We will be back next week with another episode. Until then,
Sherpas out.